Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman. I'm calling from Kersey, Colorado. I somehow managed to fall asleep 10 minutes before the show started. I was examining some of the internet particulars of the last impeachment in which Donald Trump called Mr. Zelensky in the Ukraine. And I'm hoping everybody can hear me. So when he called Mr. Zelensky in the Ukraine and he was trying to wager military money in order to get Mr. Zelensky to do an investigation against his opponent, Joe Biden, it became a national uproar and Trump eventually got impeached by the House for it. They were trying to determine the nature of high crimes and misdemeanors, and I'm going to be discussing that. But before I do, I have to determine whether or not Don and some other people can hear me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into the Blog Talk Radio studio and see if this information is going to work. 1 second, please. Hi, Albert. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. I'm just going to make sure everyone can hear me quick. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
I'm doing
Don?
Fine. You sound,
I can hear you, but you sound like you're tired.
No, there was a glitch. First of all, we do have 6-1 caller on the line, and I think it's the guy who normally listens to our show every time, and I'm going to check that. But so I'm in Kersey, Colorado. The reception out here isn't that great, and I fell asleep 15 minutes before the show started. Now, I was watching the National Constitutional Institute on the last impeachment that occurred about 2 years ago, and one thing that I gathered from that information is that there doesn't necessarily have to be a high crime or misdemeanor. Does the president, is he breaching his role or his duty within his constraint of his job? And is he serving the United States constituents or is he serving himself? So in the last impeachment before this recent one, it was determined that President Trump was using another foreign office for unlawful gains, and he was holding back money to the Ukraine in order to try to get dirt on Joe Biden, Burisma, and former relationships with other foreign governments. And it turned out that the Ukraine had helped Hillary Clinton in the past, and they had bent their will towards getting her elected. So the Ukraine wasn't innocent themselves in their past dealings with American presidents. Does anybody have any comments? I'm going to find out who this is from the 661. Are you just listening in tonight from the 661, or did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I'm listening tonight, but I wanted to know, maybe next week or in the week coming, I don't know when the next show would be, but just keep checking with me at the Lord Wheel. Do you mind if I share, like, the word of God the Lord gave me?
No, because I'm a Christian, too, and I often contend with some of my other Christian followers who are on the right. If you would like to say a verse or something now, I would be happy for that. We normally do a show on Tuesdays or Saturdays, and I have co-hosts from all over the country, so sometimes we change our schedule on alternative days. Go ahead and say what you got to say.
This is just a verse. Just a verse the Lord just gave.
Sure, take your time. We're just being casual tonight.
I'll just share from Zephaniah 2, verse 3. And what does God desire of not just America, but the world, especially in the name of Jesus or Yeshua, if you know, if you think in Hebrew of the name of Jesus, or if you have something against the name of Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, for the Christ, He desires of us to repent and to turn our ways from following the world's way to following His way through the Word of God, which we call the Bible. It says, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, seek ye the Lord, His name is Jesus. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Amen. That's all I'll share today.
Okay. John, did you hear that okay? And I do have a comment regarding that. I think a lot of times in our nose-diving American partisan politics, we kind of forget the bigger picture. And there are righteous men of God in government, but there's also many unrighteous men of God who have agendas. And a lot of times I've been disgruntled this last year over just the pettiness and the vitriol of the infighting. And even today when Trump's lawyers were presenting their arguments, they were trying to contend what the purpose would be, even though I'm a Democrat, in so to speak, that is. What is the purpose what is the purpose of trying to hold somebody accountable who's already left office? Like, what type of impact will that implore? Don or Albert, could you comment on his verse and what I said? Don.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, this is Don. Hey, everybody. Thank you for your verse. I don't know the particular verse that he gave, but he brought up, but I'm not sure if it doesn't apply to, you know, everyone. Because one of my big problems in religion anyway is organized religion and the Bible and other things. Because it was made by man. And exactly what you said, Jane, about you don't know if the representatives are Christian or not, or if they are say they're Christian and do the opposite. And I find so many people do. And this January 6th insurrection proved that a person who fears, claims to fear God is actually more Satan. And that's one of the things that I've had major problems with organized religion, because I know there's a spirit or a God or whatever you want to call him out there, and I know that he's controlling my life. So I have no problem with that. It's just other people, they're really, you know, kind of evil. We're all built from sin. And, you know, remember that the Bible was made by man for the most part. It changed the way that people think, and that we were, if you want to call
Don,
it, idolaters.
I agree with everything you said, but you have to understand that the final result of the Bible is the inspired word of God. There's 66 books in the Bible, and many are from like the prophet Isaiah, and the David, who was a king, and Solomon, like they weren't just words that, like they weren't just some kind of random essays written 2,000 years ago. Like it is the inspired word of God.
But
as far as man being sinners and having their own agenda, you were right on point.
Well, you got to understand too that again, this is another lie, along with the lies that people believe that Jesus Christ is white or is, you know, is not black. But the bottom line is that there are 129 chapters in the Bible where only the ones that have been published claim to be that. There are other men who have written verses that pertain to God and godliness. And my particular...
Well, I know, like, the Catholic Bible... The Catholic Bible has one extra New Testament chapter that the Protestants don't have, and the Mormons have some extra things. But there's 66 books in the Bible. I'm just guessing randomly. I know them all in order, but I don't know where it divides. But let's just say the first 40 are the Old Testament. The first five books are the Levitical law, and they are... It's part of all the people of the books, like the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. And then there's the books of the prophets, and then there's Psalms and Proverbs. And then there's the prophecy of Daniel and Lamentations and all that stuff. And it ends at Malachi. And then the whole New Testament came much later, and it's the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were Jesus' disciples, which was what they would call in journalism a primary source. And then a lot of it's the writings of Paul, and then it ends with the revelation of John. So I just don't want to contest the validity of the Bible right now. The man read the scripture. It was trying to prune us in order to conduct our speech in a way that's what's important and what's just versus what he said, she said, whether the Republicans thinks all the Democrats are on a witch hunt versus what the Democrats think, that Trump really pervaded the law and tried to overthrow our government. So we should really kind of stick on point and not get back into a, a biblical charade. So
all right, well,
Albert,
what's the topic?
But what I'm just trying to say is he's just trying to help the direction of the show without being too preachy.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. I have no problem with that. What is the topic in general? Right.
I start. The actual topic tonight is the Constitution has broad parameters. I'm just trying to summarize here. It has broad parameters, and is it a legitimate claim to impeach a president who has already left office? Like, is that legitimate? What is it going to prove? And is it a high crime and misdemeanor what Trump did on January 6th to provoke those thousands of people to? Now, I watched a video today from CNN that was part of the impeachment trial, and there were scenes from that January 6th insurrection that was damn well scary. Like, they were charging, they were busting windows. It was things I've never seen before. I did see some of the busting up of windows before, but they were just, like, completely overriding the local authorities, and it could have ended up much more disastrous than it did. So, Albert, why don't you go, since you were the first one to call in, and just tell me your thoughts up till this point.
Well, there's been some big, really big things happening. Just 2 weeks ago, of course, we haven't done a show for like over a month. But anyways,
we actually did it one night 2 weeks ago, but I didn't get a hold of you. It was just me, John, and Don. Okay.
Okay. Well, just 2 weeks ago, probably before your show happened, where the GameStop debacle, I don't know if you heard of it, but it was all over the news 2 weeks ago. Everybody was talking about it. It was the biggest take of money, you know, and mainly Robinhood, literally a Robinhood, a stock firm, a brokerage firm that trade stocks. Basically, they took away from the poor and gave to the rich. So that's the short story of it, but kind of the long story, not really that long, kind of short, you know. But so GameStop, CNBC 3 months ago did a piece on them, how GameStop was going to go bankrupt. And so, you know, and there were a lot of big companies like Marvin Capital bought a lot of shorts in GameStop. So there was more, there was like 140% something more shorts than there were actually purchasing stocks of GameStop. So there was a lot of short. So the people, a lot of people, they were in the Reddit users on Discord, and also in Reddit, of course. Reddit and Discord were from the Wall Street Bet guys. So the Wall Street Bet guys is a large, it's not an organization, it's nothing, it's just a Reddit post, and people just join in and talk. So it's a collaborative ideas over large group of money. I mean, large amount of people, not money, but large amount of people. Anyway, so, you know, usually the hedge funds are usually the smart guys, supposedly, and people on Reddit were basically dumb money, as referred before, right?
So what does this have to do with the impeachment, the game store stock? I don't understand what direction you're going in.
Well, it has a lot to do about how they changed the rules. When the poor people start actually making money, and so they change the rules right on the fly to keep poor people from making money. But when rich people make money, they don't change the rules.
They had to change the rules.
Go ahead, Don, or anybody else.
They had, Well, they had to change the rules because nobody.
Yeah, but I had to explain the whole story so you can understand.
But they, but the Robin Hood couldn't cover their calls. They couldn't cover their options. And
yeah,
let me
cover the whole story. So anyways, a lot of these guys from the Wall Street Bet guys, right? You know, their fathers and mothers, you know, they lost money in the 2008 crisis, the housing market crisis, where a lot of people lost their jobs, and you know, and the big hedge funds made a lot of money. And so here are the big hedge funds again, right? And so there are a lot of big hedge funds like Marvin Capital buying big shorts of GameStop. And when you buy a short, it's basically you're betting on the company to fail. So Marvin Capital bought a couple billion dollars of shorts on GameStop. Anyways, so the people on Reddit, which basically mainly the Wall Street Bet guys, they saw that there were a lot of shorts. There were 140% shorts. A lot more shorts than they were purchased. And though they knew that if they bought the stocks, you know, in a losing company, now of course GameStop is a losing company, that if they bought the stocks, the big hedge funds that had the shorts would have to be forced to reposition their shorts and buy more stocks so they can reposition their shorts, thus making money, thus the poor people making money, right? So poor people got to get. Well,
no.
Hedge funds do insider trading all the time. In fact,
right.
Here's the thing. Hedge funds like Citadel owns the largest amount in Robinhood. What Citadel buys from Robinhood is from information. Because when you go on Robinhood, even Bingo, Robinhood, E-Trade, Americatrade, and stockbroker firms like that, your information is not private. So when you buy and sell, the information on what stocks you buy and what stocks you sell and what are your favorite stocks and what have you been looking at the last week, everything. They can even do a live feed and just stare at you live. That's how they can literally stare at you. So anyways, Citadel buys the largest amount of portions of Robinhood's info of you, like you and me, right? Regular people making stocks. We are called the retailers, right? So the hedge funds are the smart money, supposedly, right? And then, so they have their big insiders. Hedge funds are big insiders. They buy, they even buy our new secretary who monitors our money. I forgot her name. It's an old lady now, and you know she was in Barack Obama's run,
Janet Yellen.
Janet Yellen. Anyways, so Citadel gave Janet Yellen gave Janet Yellen a couple million for her speech, supposedly, right? But anyways, so here's the thing. A lot of people on Reddit, but the Wall Street Bet guys started buying a lot of stocks from GameStop and making the stocks go up a lot, by 200, 300, even 400%. Stocks going up really high, right?
356%.
Yeah, they started shooting the stocks up really high. It went up to like $460. So basically it went from $5 to be $460 per stock. That's how much it went up. There was a lot of purchases being made from retailers, basically like you and me, and you know, and a lot of fuel was coming from the Wall Street Bet guys on Reddit. Anyways, so while that was happening, Marvin Capital was definitely going to lose a lot of money because they bought a lot of $1 billion in short sales, so they were going to go broke and lose a lot of money. So Marvin Capital, obviously, is well-connected to a lot of mainstream media and a lot of – anyways. So CNBC said that Marvin Capital sold all the shorts at a loss. When we went back to look at the actually short sale stocks and how much were available, there was still plenty available. Marvin Capital owns the majority of the short sales. So if they were to sell – you would see definitely more than about 50% of those short sales disappear. That didn't happen. So obviously CNBC lied, or maybe Market Capital just sold 1% of the short sales. But anyways, one thing for sure they're still in the shorts is that Marvin Capital got a $2.75 billion loan from Citadel to reposition their shorts so they won't go bankrupt. They got a handout from Citadel. Now Citadel, like I said, owns a large portion of Robinhood and also paid our governor lady, right? I forgot her, whatever her name is, right? Anyways. Millionaire is a speaking term, but anyways, okay. So Robinhood and other companies, TD Ameritrade and and whatnot. Anyways, what they did, and by the way, it wasn't a mandate policy that came in from the New York Stock Exchange. So New York Stock Exchange did not call in these companies and told them to stop the buys. They chose on their own individually. Even the CEO of Robinhood was
Could
on CNN.
Albert wrap it
and
up
he
so Don can comment.
Okay, I'm almost done. Even the CEO of Robinhood admitted that he decided to close the sales by his own choice. By his own choice. He admitted it, CEO of Robinhood. He said himself on TV.
They didn't have the funding. Your facts are a little skewed, even though the whole concept is correct.
I literally saw the CEO on CNN literally talking and literally admitting to not allowing the sales.
Right.
Did he shut down that you can't that you can't buy, but you can sell. So basically, here's the thing.
He had to, Albert.
Yes,
he had to. He was going to lose money. Robinhood was going to lose money.
Let me finish. I'll explain to you. If you let me finish, I can explain to you. So, like I said, Citadel owns a large venture, and Citadel gave Marvin Capital a big loan of $2.57 million. Anyways, so Citadel owns a large portion of that. So you get the point. If the stocks keep on going higher and higher, Citadel was going to lose money, and they were going to lose money as well. And they own Robinhood basically. So Robinhood had to close allowing people to buy stocks and only letting people sell stocks. Now, of course, if you only let people sell stocks but not buy, what's going to happen? Of course, the stock that was going to plummet because people are going to sell, and that's going to make the stock plummet, and nobody can buy, so it's just going to go down. So that's what Robinhood did. They did it, and they saved their asses. But then when you asked them about it, they said, they did it for the safety of people, supposedly. But here's the thing. So anyways, like I said,
the only thing I'm really gathering from this is that the rich exploited the poor. They manipulated the market. And that
yes.
they saved
well,
themselves
they
the in
world.
The end, but they claimed that they were doing it for others. Don, what's your point?
Well, when you say they, that's a key point, because they could be anyone. In this particular case, it was a bunch of independent buyers. This was done with $502,000 incremental single options. Because Robinhood is basically only options. So short sales should not affect Robinhood, the actual trading platform, but it did affect the financial paradigm, because Robinhood was going to lose so much money from all these buyers, and that they were, because they couldn't, if they were to sell, because they couldn't cover. And so if they were to sell, in mass at one time, the next day or something, Robinhood would have possibly crashed. So Robinhood.
That makes sense to me.
Here's the thing. It's called a short squeeze.
It was hard for me to absorb the details of something I don't know nothing about.
But it's called the short squeeze, and basically, the big hedge funds do it, big short squeeze, and make money. They put it on the news like, oh, the hedge funds make money, they're so smart. And then, but here's the thing: we're independent retailer investors make money. The news comes out, be like, hey, look at these criminals. We gotta change the rules. We gotta do something about these guys. And they, and
the rules,
so the mainstream media, the mainstream media, you know, starts attacking these guys, right? These little guys. So basically, it's okay when the big hedge funds make money, but when you and me make money, and here's the thing. Like companies like Robinhood were literally stopping people from buying because they didn't want Marvin Capital to go bankrupt because Citadel loaned them money and they own Robinhood, and they didn't want it to go bankrupt. They got to protect their buyers. They literally admitted they
okay,
were,
Alfred,
they like
to
protect their buyers.
Okay, Alfred, you
have to
tell us
the thing. When you and me, when
you need
and
to
me
tell us what
lose,
you think
lose,
the solution
Albert,
is.
Here's the thing:
what's
when
the
you
solution?
Lose money. When you and me lose money, Robinhood says, "Oh well, too bad. You just made a poor mistake." But when the
right.
big hedge funds lose money, they're like, "Oh no, we gotta protect them. This ain't right."
But they're in it together. You said it yourself. They're in it together. So we know this. So the bottom line is that Robinhood did what it did for two, three stocks. They cut buying on two stocks, I believe. And so the bottom line is that this is 2008 all over again. Albert, nothing has changed. Nothing.
This is 2008 housing crash all over again.
When the big hedge funds got a lot of money and the banks got bailed out.
And now the poor people went homeless and lost their jobs. Now it happened again, where the poor people lose their monies, and the big boys get bailed out.
You are too
again.
Much Albert sometimes. Albert. Somebody wins and somebody loses. That's the game of life. You've got to. I've made money on the 2008 crash, and a lot of people made money. Especially those
when
who
poor,
stayed in
yeah,
there.
But when poor people start winning, they change the rules.
Yes, we know that.
Albert, I
am
muted you
job.
For – wait, Don. I muted Albert for 30 seconds to tell you guys this. We have to draw our analogies. We cannot spend 30 minutes on one point. So finish your point so other people can talk. Now I'm letting them back in. Okay, go
but
ahead,
it,
Albert.
It was not,
just finish
it was
your
not
point.
Half an hour. I barely lasted like 2 or 3 minutes.
No, I started
about
the
it.
Show – started the show at 9:15, and now it's 9:15.
Hey, yeah, most of your talk was about God and other stuff.
Okay,
but
okay,
I
okay.
just didn't start
Albert,
this.
Albert,
just
Albert.
You know, you're missing the point. Listen to what Don's saying, and then draw your conclusions. We're not at the end.
You guys, hey, sweethearts. Babies, stop. All right, now, first of all, you didn't help her address her question. What is your point? That's what we know. What are you going to do about it? That's what she asked you, and he went on and on and on. That's not right, Albert. If she asked you a question, answer it. So what are you going to do about it? It happens. You said it yourself. It happens. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You know that.
So, Albert, we know that people.
What?
I had
Hello?
COVID.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm going to let you
know.
I'm going to give you an analogy about people being ripped off.
What?
Go ahead.
Well, the thing is that we play by their rules. Because they're the insiders. They're the insiders. They have insider information. But we play by their rules, and this time we won, right? The independent retailer won, and now they have to change the rules on us because we won. So that's how it is. And they got bailed out again. So here we go. 2008 all over again, right? The
Albert,
big 2008 housing market crash. And so now it happened again. They got bailed out a lot of money. They
think,
got bailed out.
What do you think you're doing?
And the rules were changed to protect them.
They're
so
getting bailed out. You're getting the money from the government. You're being bailed out. Keep quiet about being some of this stuff. The thing is that you're talking.
I'm not
about
getting money
stuff.
From any government.
You didn't get your PUA.
John, that was my next point.
You mean the $600 that they were waiting to give out for like 6?
Okay, I'm muting both of you so I can make my point. I worked 4 jobs in December. Then I got COVID December 30th to January 3rd or 8th. I started getting relief from the government for unemployment for 2 weeks I missed work. But I get $600 a week because I'm not full-time yet. So in addition to my regular wages, I'm getting $600 extra. If COVID would have never happened, I'd only be getting $300 a week, but they're paying us all $300 extra. One of the side effects from my COVID is I have numb fingers. So I still go to work. I still have 3 jobs, but 2 are part-time, and my fingers are numb from COVID. I could just sit on my ass and not do nothing. But I only have to work 27 hours a week to get unemployment. If I work 32, I lose my unemployment. So therefore, I'm a citizen. I'm just as bad as Citadel. I could use the government. And the weeks that I work over 32 hours, I don't get the money. So the point that Don was trying to make is we're all benefiting from the pandemic. Maybe, Albert, you're not benefiting because you didn't work and you didn't put money in the system. You used to do a job for car insurance where you got paid, but now you're not doing anything. So what Don and I want to know is why are you constantly bitching about it? No, I'm letting everybody back in.
I mean, Doc, can I listen?
Yeah, why are you bitching about it, Albert, when you're not even working?
Let me put it this way, okay? I'm never going to get bailed out, okay? If I lose my home and I made a bad mistake in the stock market or in real life or whatever, they're not going to come and bail me out just like they did the big banks. And if I start losing in the stock market, they're not going to come in and change the rules to help me out. They're not. They change the rules and they bail out. These rich assholes. And you're talking about the $600 a month ago that they finally gave out. That they were, by the way, they were not giving out for almost 6 months. For almost 6 months, there was no money. And by the way, I mean, you guys are talking about how people are getting, money and getting a lot of help. By the way, this coronavirus led to the largest by far of home evictions, and there was a mandatory law in place to supposedly protect people from getting evicted, but there was big loopholes in favor of the big rich to evict all these people. So yes, a large amount of people got evicted. So if you put together people over 1 year, people got the record of evictions is completely broken, the highest evictions ever recorded on Earth.
Okay, I want to tell you something, Albert. I was paying a loan company off every single month, even during the 2 weeks that I didn't have a job. I left one job October 27th and started another one November 10th. They tried to take me to court, even though I was following the guidelines of their loans. And I had to sit there 3 hours one day, and 4 people were getting evicted from their domicile. And they were trying to exploit the COVID laws. The minute they found out that there was no eviction, they started not paying their rent. Some of them didn't pay rent for 9 months and just expected to sit there and not pay anything while their landlords were getting screwed. And you know what? The court agreed that all 4 of those parties should be evicted because there's a law in Wisconsin where I was in court that says if you're on a month-to-month lease, the COVID eviction rule doesn't apply to you. So some people got saved because they were able to pay the rent, but the other people didn't do shit, and the landlords had, they were paying their banks for the property, but they were getting no money in return. So I know there's a lot of people out there who haven't paid any rent when they're still working, and they're screwing over their landlords. So someone else can go now.
Well, no, the landlords are getting subsidies, just
Albert,
like Borden
Albert,
and James C. got the big bailout.
But yeah, but don't. But that's the way the program is working. You don't understand, Albert. I am in the middle of changing
no,
all
they're
this
big,
stuff.
They're too big to fail. They're too big to fail. So yeah.
But,
so
hey,
yeah. If even if millions of people didn't pay their rent for the apartment, they'll get a loan subsidy from the government, tax free. And they'll be back on their feet. But people
that's
go homeless and get kicked out of the apartment and go homeless, they don't get a loan subsidy. There's no, they don't get any big
but
government funding. No, over 6 months, people didn't get nothing until finally they say, we're going
to
give you guys $600.
You need to come with me and talk to your legislators. I'll be happy to talk to your legislators. I do it all the time. I talk to the president, vice president. I do it all the time. And the bottom line is that they don't listen to anybody who has nothing to say or who doesn't speak up. And that's people like you. You say something, but you don't back it up. You don't just represent. And that's what I'm talking about. I just came from a school board meeting, and it was a law that I helped pass. I passed in 2015, and finally the school boards around the state are addressing what I made into law with the help of just one of my assembly people. It was just he sponsored the law, and he and I worked on it the whole time, and we've got the law, and it takes 5 years for them to begin implementing it. So all this takes time, but it takes work. And you've got to put, faith with no works is dead. And so all this stuff you're talking about, that's what James said about a half an hour. You could have summed it up in 10 minutes because you're not following through. It's worthless. All the stuff that you said in that second 20 minutes or whatever was worthless. Because you, yourself...
It wasn't worthless because he was trying to make a point, but
If you don't work it,
right.
It there, doesn't
there's
go
something
anywhere.
You can't... There's things you can't control, Albert, like looking up stories about people exploiting stuff. It happens every day. But there is things that you can do. You could go work for a nonprofit and make change. Like work for a justice organization.
Ding,
like
ding, 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 ding,
there's
ding,
things
ding,
I could
ding.
Do. Right, that's what Don's trying to say. Like you, even if you're not making money, like an income, and you refuse to work because you think the fucking, I'm sorry to swear, Mr. Christian on the line, but you think the wage system is inadequate. And now Biden's trying to pass a $15 an hour nationwide pay structure. The fact of the matter is. We only have our lives right now, and we will be eternally judged. You can do something to make someone's life better. I know you make your mother's life better. So let's focus on what we can do, not what we can't do. The exploitation of Wall Street and stocks has been around for years, and our own Ben on our show has gotten screwed by it. He sunk $1,000 here, $1,000 there. He lost the money. He didn't know exactly what he was doing, and that was that. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead,
anyway,
and respond to what we said.
I showed you a report, Huffman. I'm talking to Jane. That I showed you a report a couple weeks ago.
I remember.
By the way, I couldn't find that report on the anywhere, so it was kind of hard because even the YouTube videos were deleted, and so a lot of the stuff was deleted and really hard to find. And it was never even mentioned in the mainstream media. So I couldn't find anywhere, CNN, ABC, you know, I mean, PBS, or any mainstream media. I couldn't find anywhere, CNBC, et cetera, et cetera, right? It was nowhere to be found, really hard, and deleted off of many YouTube videos. So the most interesting part that I find during the protests at Portland, when the federal agents were there sent by Donald Trump. Anyways, this was never, you guys probably never heard of this and never seen the video or pictures, but they're very horrifying. So the federal agents in July 11, 2020, okay, I'll repeat this again, July 11, 2020, federal agents were sent there and they were using supposedly non-lethal, weapons to protect the building, right? They weren't protecting anyone. They're just protecting the federal building, and this was during the time the statues, people were breaking the statues, so they were there to protect the statues and the federal buildings. Anyway, so the Portland protesters were there. So at that night, July 11th, Donovan LaVella, he was there across the street. Now they threw a gas grenade or whatever. They threw a gas grenade. It shows in the video that he gently picks it up and underhand tosses it. So he uses like an underhand toss. So that's a gentle toss when you do an underhand. So he does an underhand toss.
So what you're saying
is
that
the feds were too violent.
You're saying
the feds were too violent. No, it's not that the feds were too violent.
Well,
I have to say something, okay?
No, Suzette is on the line.
Just let me finish.
I will let you finish, but we have another caller. So just finish what you have to say.
But Albert, we already know.
I know, but you guys are quickly judging me, and you guys don't let me finish. I can't.
But we know it.
No.
We know what you're going to say.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say. You can't predict the future. You don't have no idea what I'm going to
say.
Okay, just
say it. John, let him finish.
Okay.
But from now on, the blurbs are 3 minutes each.
They were protesting police brutality. But anyway, they were protesting police brutality. And the federal agents used a non-lethal weapon, a projectile, to shoot John Dillon right between the eyes. Okay? Now, I know what you're doing. You know, a beanbag is going to hit somebody. It's going to hurt somebody. No, literally fractured and put a hole in his skull. You can literally see his brain. You can see his brains. Okay, his brain. You can see his brain. It's like literally this hole in his head. So he barely survived it. They took him to the hospital. There was blood all over the place, right? And so the federal agent shot him right in between the heads. And it was a hole in his head. He was in the hospital, and he barely survived it. And so that's – I bet you weren't expecting the federal agent to bust a hole in your head.
The point of the story is that the federal agent used excessive force. He almost killed somebody. And what was the result of that? That did the federal agent get prosecuted? Okay, I'm talking to Suzette.
Yeah, no, I mean, okay, we've had riots and, from good people on both sides. So what in the world is it going?
We have a caller from South Dakota and Suzette.
Okay.
So I'm going to pull Suzette in first.
Say,
hi, Suzette.
All I wanted to say was I've lived through this in the civil rights movement, and it's way worse. You people, all these people are kind of pussy. Go ahead. Hi, Suzette.
Okay, Suzette,
hi.
I have two people on mute. Hi, how's it? Thank you for calling in. I have been in a weird situation in Jersey, Colorado. Part of the problem is that I'm staying with someone who puts their thermometer gauge to 62 at night, and I've been freezing to death.
Oh my gosh.
So I was researching the impeachment process of the last impeachment with the Ukrainian Zelensky and Donald's relations with him. And I did want to mention something you said on our show a few weeks ago, but I don't have time right now. we were talking about the impeachment process, and then Albert went to the Citadel Game Boy stock thing, how they got bailed out, and how the, you know, like the predominantly rich blocks always went out. And then Don was telling him about the, you know, you just have to deal in a fair and unjust society and make do and try to fight through the system. And now we have a caller from the 605, I think it's South Dakota. So let me just find out who that is. Who's calling, please?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's your name, sir?
My name's Joe.
Okay, we've kind of been jumping around. We started.
All right.
So what would you like to say?
Is that I'd like to say if that's Suzette from Spreaker, she can go first, and then I'll follow up.
Cool. We'll have Suzette go first. So, Suzette, what did you think of the process about Trump's lawyers today saying that a former president no longer has to he should not be trialed in an active Senate for a position he no longer holds?
Well, I think that approach was a correct approach.
What did you say?
No, it's not like she got cut off. Okay, until she comes back, since you've only got a few minutes left, I can put in my input.
She's still on the air, but go ahead, sir.
What's up, Joe?
Okay.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, who's that? You know me?
That's
Don.
Donald. That's Donald. He doesn't know you. He's just saying hi.
Okay. All right. So I guess you want an answer to that the impeachment of Trump is a constitutional viability. If it's no, you can only impeach somebody, a president, who when he's a president. Trump was removed. He's no longer the president. This is a sham. It should be obvious to anybody who understands how to spell logic. So this is just another witch hunt done by the Democrats to go after Trump to make sure that he doesn't have any power in the future. Do I agree with that?
No. I'll check in. Suzette's call drop. She'll probably call back.
There's one thing that people have to understand.
Yeah.
Yes, Suzette, you're here. You're here, Suzette.
Yes.
All right. There's one thing people have to understand is that the impeachment, first of all, there's nothing.
Let her talk.
I was just going to say.
Go ahead, Suzette. I put everybody on mute for a minute.
Oh, thank you. John was right, the person who just called in. There is no, you can't impeach a president that's no longer in office. And what the Democrats have done is they've taken the Constitution, what it says as far as the removal and the where he can't run again for office. And they said they're using it as an or to separate the two. So since he's not in office anymore, we know we can't remove him, but we can still prevent him from being ever elected to another position to hold office. And it's like, no, it's an and. It's together. It's a combination. So they're manipulating the wording in the Constitution to mean what they want it to mean. And so it's unconstitutional with the impeachment in its entirety, in my opinion. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm
hey,
going to let John and Joa. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, and then Don, and then I'm going to pull Albert back in. Go ahead.
Okay, Don was going to finish up his reply to my particular opinion, so I don't mind.
Don, what's your opinion?
He finishes.
No, I just.
I'm sorry, but we've had some problems tonight with too many people, so go ahead, Don.
Well, no, I mean the topics have been kind of convoluted here and there. But I forgot even what you said, Joe, because I was.
It was what Suzette said. It was what
Suzette
said. So well, no problem.
The impeachment, first of all, the Constitution does not say that the president or sitting president can be impeached, former president or sitting. It doesn't delineate any of that. In past history, most all impeachments have been with people who have left office already. So that's completely contrary.
That isn't true. There's been about two or three senators that maybe have been impeached.
Virtually all impeachments that were brought about after a person either left office or was voted out.
There's only been about three cases. Three cases, probably of senators, not of a president, and it isn't the Constitution regarding the rules of impeachment.
No, well, the impeachments that happened with the presidency were in when he was still in office. But the impeachments.
When you say the president, automatically, it's the president that's sitting there. Well, you don't have to put sitting. Otherwise, if you want to put sitting, you have to put alive, person with hair, male or female.
No.
When you say president, it means whoever's got the Oval Office.
What I'm saying is that you can, first of all, his actions happen while he was sitting. So they are fair game. And the second thing is that the impeachment process does not say sitting or not sitting. But it does.
I already explained that.
If they are
the impeachment process
is
about.
They can never hold office again. That's the key.
The impeachment process is done. The impeachment process is about a president. Trump is no longer president. You don't have to have the adjective sitting. You do not have to have the adjective sitting. Otherwise, you have to have other adjectives such as alive, male, female, et cetera. So when the person is a president, as mentioned in the Constitution, it means the person
action,
in the office at that particular time.
I would rather not see him as president because I need to have the Ninth Circuit Court and everybody else come after his ass and grill him to the freaking edge of bankruptcy. He's already there.
They're trying to get him on phony charges for about 4 years. And it doesn't matter if you want whatever circuit court that you want to go after him. The impeachment in the Constitution is clear.
He's a crook.
It's clear.
In your opinion,
he's a crook.
He hired
in the writing of the Constitution. He's a president.
I muted Don a minute because I would like to say something because I'm the one with the master's in political science. What the Constitution said is that Congress has the authority to impeach and remove a civil officer, whether it's a – because there was a judge one time named Samuel. I can't forget his name in the 1800s who was removed. They have the right to remove someone from office and impeach them. Now that Donald Trump is no longer there, technically, in my belief, even though I'm a Democrat – I don't think they have the right to conduct a trial for a former president who is no longer standing in office. Now, the British monarchy, the constitutional monarchy, in which we got this legal mandate, they were allowed anyone who was pursuing the crown for powerful negotiations and trying to overtake the crown was able to be impeached and removed in England, but not in the United States. Everybody else can go, including Albert now.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's good that we don't have to follow the rules of Parliament. We're following our Constitution.
Right. But the English law is what this impeachment is fully predicated on, fully. So it's English law that...
Who cares?
But there's a distinction, Don. In England, you don't have to hold the office. You can be a citizen of the crown and be impeached without holding office. Here, you should technically be. You should be part of the process.
But that's what we're basing our law against. But you're right about that.
We're basing our constitution on the Magna Carta and on the Iroquois constitution as well. We have a constitution that's written according to the founding fathers and their intentions, not the British intentions.
But the German and the English did have an
It doesn't matter about the butts.
The two
it's irrelevant.
And the English.
God, do you know what irrelevant means?
A big word?
It means it's irrelevant. What you're speaking now are non sequiturs. It has no bearing to the American Constitution to what we're talking about.
It has 100% bearing because it was.
It has nothing to do with it.
You're wrong with
okay?
that.
I'd rather listen to Alan Dershowitz and other constitutional scholars than you. No offense.
But the English, but the English law played direct effect on the creation of the impeachment law. That's
the creation
but
of 1783. Okay.
We have language
so with
that
the
is
plain. Plain.
I would have no problem.
Okay.
If it was from the Magna Carta or the Quarry Constitution, I have no problem with them. But this particular phraseology comes directly from the English.
Who cares?
Law,
it was not written by King George.
That's why
it was written
relevant.
It was written in defiance of King George.
Correct.
Capiche? Okay.
Right. And so we
so
just
it's
copied
a non sequitur what you're talking about.
But we copied
your
it, and we said
non sequiturs on. They are not. They're not syllogistically correct. Okay.
But they just voted him impeached. So what? What
aye,
is
aye,
the reason
aye.
There?
All right.
They
all right.
just
okay.
voted to impeach him.
Good. Today. Good for you.
Today they did. So what do you say about that?
Because it's a partisan agenda. They have the majority, so they can do it.
But they had to have
Albert,
some
you're back on the air.
They had to have some Republican support, and they did.
They had 6.
Okay, how many? 30? What?
They voted 56-44 to impeach Donald
right.
Trump. But what Suzette and Joe are saying is, technically, according to the Constitution, it's really not legit. They're going to do it anyway, but it's still not legitimate.
Well, once they do that, and the Senate doesn't file impeachment charges or continue with them, then the Senate is going to be a moot, body. They're not going to have any power whatsoever in the future for impeachments or almost anything else. So they've got to do it for their own, for keeping faith, for keeping their own powers available. That's what a lot of this is about. It's not about the actual event. The actual event, you know, the guy incited a riot, so what? You know, the bottom line is that we see what the a segment of our society is like, and they're not constitutionalists, they're not for God, and they're not for the people of the United States. That was very, very clear, no matter whose side you're on, and whether impeachment was okay or not. The bottom line is that America has to do what it can to come back to being America, or else democracy is dead. Right now, as of January 6th, democracy is dead.
Well, to that I would say it's only
democracy
it would be dead
is
as
dead.
Of today.
Well, hey, if I can please add my comment, because I haven't literally said nothing for like half an hour because I've been muted for a long time. But I just wanted to say something. Okay?
Let's do that talk real quick. Listen,
okay? Because freedom of speech and democracy is dead. We are not allowed to have freedom of speech because we'll get destroyed and we'll get a hole in our head. And now, I want you guys to please, when you have your free time, look at Donovan LaBelle. Donovan LaBelle, July 11th. Okay, he's a 26-year-old. Okay, and it happened July 11th. Okay, and here's the thing. Now, I know some of you people are going to say, well, he should have been out there expressing his freedom of speech, right? He should have been outside. I mean, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, you'll be at the court office, you know, for your court hearing for some other reason. And since it's a court office, you know, federal agent can go out the court office because it's a federal building. So somebody rich and powerful goes there. Someone very rich and powerful and famous goes to the court office, and the federal agents go there, and they kick you out the court. And you're like, wow, damn it, I'm late. I have to be at the court. And you start complaining, and then they shoot you in the head. Now you got a hole in your head. Now they're going to be telling you, oh, well, you should have been speaking your freedom of speech at the court, at your public courthouse nearby your house. you know, you should have been out there. You should have been home. Like, well, you know, what? And you're going to be like, well, I have to be there because I have to be there for court because I have my court hearing. And
got
you
it.
Get shot in the head. So it just happens to, you know, it's just the common excuse, oh, you shouldn't be out there. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't. I mean, your freedom of speeches are being shut down in every way and corner until a point. I can tell you in the future, they'll be using real guns, 9mm, you know, 45mm, shooting people in the head with real guns, and then people are still going to say, oh, well, you should have been out there. You should have been protesting.
Yeah, fully aware. I'm pretty sure everybody on the call is fully aware of where the country's headed. I'm just saying. But, yeah, so anyway, the language is clear and plain, and they did it that way on purpose in the Constitution as far as the whole impeachment. Impeachment is just the investigation, the exploration into the wrongdoing that's being charged. And then if the person is found guilty, then they'll remove. And with removing them, it also removes their ability to ever run for office again. Those two cannot be separated. Those two are together as far as if you're removed, then you can't run for office again. But just because you're impeached doesn't mean that you'll be removed, because you can be found not guilty, and that's what happened during the last impeachment. So I think, anyway, back to you.
Yeah, since nobody's talking, I'm going to spell out his name. Donovan is spelled D-O-N-A-V-A-N LaBelle, A-L-B-E-L-L-A. Just play, look it up. I mean, if you guys don't care, that don't care. When it happens to your family member, then you will care. But just look it up.
A lot of things are happening to a lot of people right now, Albert. And this Liddell happened in July, so it's not even timely in terms of what's going on right now. But, you know, we've still got this non-American flavor that I am not feeling, that I'm not feeling because I'm American. I love America even though I am trying to change a lot of things, and I've been doing it ever since I was born. But, in terms of what's going on right now, I cannot believe that people cannot see in front of their faces that there was a coup that was going on. And it was a straight-up coup, and, nobody could say a thing about it. And that's sad. It is really sad. Jane may be a political science master's, but I was a political science minor with philosophy, theology, and journalism major. It doesn't matter what kind of information that you get in school. What matters is what you do with it when you get to be an adult. And right now, we're all adults. And if you don't see that when you go into a Capitol building saying, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, that's as bad as Jews can't replace us. Jews can't replace us. Whoever those people are, they need to be incarcerated. They need to be put in jail, fined and everything to the fullest, because they are treasonous. They are seditionists. And this is plain and simple. And if the American people can't see it, God bless. I pray for the American people, because I know they're stupid, but I can't believe they're as stupid as this. And I don't follow. I will never follow anybody, a leader or anyone else, who has the brains of a tuna fish. And I don't give a damn whose party it is. I'm the one who leads. And this stuff is crazy, and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do my part in my place in America. And I already have, and I will continue. And this is, you folks are talking off your ass, and this stuff is real.
Of course it is. And,
yep.
And Donna,
go ahead, Susan. South Dakota dropped. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that I don't think there are very many people that wouldn't agree with you as far as the behavior of some of those people that were there on January 6th. And that I'm one of them. I don't disagree. I think that they should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Absolutely. But what I'm also saying is that you can't hold somebody responsible that while that was going on, he was giving his speech. And if you've heard the speech, there isn't anything in there that I believe or think
right.
that instituted
right.
any type of violence.
Fight.
Also,
fight. How many times did he say fight? Your country is you will you must fight or your country will fall apart. That's what he said.
That's considered political speech. That what was going on with the rioting and the police and all of that was happening while he was giving his speech, okay? That's like the same thing as if you're running for an office and you have some KKK people or whoever supporting you and sending money to your campaign, unbeknownst to you, because you're just, you know, trying to run your campaign. And but that doesn't mean that person's associated with you in any way. But that person can support you and what you do and your policies and, you know, what you want to do for the country. But that doesn't mean that you support what his beliefs are or her beliefs are. You can't control
there are several, there are so many witnesses. There are so many people who are involved
the KKK trading their uniforms for police uniforms.
He said, yeah, that's what they wore the police uniforms before they had the KKK uniforms. But anyway,
yeah,
but the thing is that you saw the people, the witnesses, the people who were protesting, they said they were out there for Donald Trump. Donald Trump asked them to come, and that's why they were there.
It was a Stop the Steal rally. It wasn't a protest. And what if I were to ask you, if you saw video, which I did today, if you saw video that was being recorded showing the police escorting vehicles into the Capitol, opening those doors, and letting Antifa out of those doors and running into the Capitol?
Weren't those Donald Trump supporters
they were taking pictures with? Those same Donald Trump supporters they were taking pictures with?
The destructive behavior.
Yeah, but weren't those the same Donald Trump supporters they were taking pictures with? And there's,
but
there
I did
only,
see
like,
a lot of violence
only, like,
on the hill.
A dozen cops. There was, that same building. They were taking pictures with the police. Those Donald Trump supporters, you know, just a few months before then, when the supposed, you know, the Antifa, the people you call Antifa, were there, there were like thousands and thousands of policemen there ready to take them on. They're during the Donald Trump supporter, and only like six policemen, like just a couple of them.
Okay, here's my point, you guys, and I'll just make it brief. Today, while they were, it was during the period of the Trump lawyers, there were many things on that, these video cameras we see in the last 30 days that just become visible recently. There was quite a bit of violence on the Hill that day. They didn't just waltz in there with flagpoles. There were many people who were using major force inside the building against valuable, not just, I'm not talking about like statues, but they were railing on the wood, they were railing on the glass. It was freaking scary, man. I even had to shut it off during my church Bible study because I left the TV on by mistake. Some of those people were out for blood. Other people were sitting there parading and being part of the show. But I'm not saying it's going to make or break what happens in the future, but it was scary.
Here's a very interesting fact, by the way, because you know how the Antifa and BLM guys always get run over by cars? You know, every time they're out there, they're always getting run over, during those protests. Have you ever heard of a Donald Trump supporter protester getting run over by a car? Because I haven't seen that yet.
Well, see, the people are stupid. that's why these white people are these people are stupid, because they believe the white media. The white media is trying to say Antifa's left. Antifa's left. No, Antifa's violent. They don't care what party you're from, where you're going, what you're doing, as long as instilling violence or even the threat of violence is there.
Antifa is outside of the system.
Right.
And we had a show on it. It means anti-fascism. It started in Europe to irritate the radical parties of Germany in the 30s.
Why does the American people go for the okey-doke when the press says, oh, Antifa's left? Antifa's not left. Antifa's, like you said, outside the political parties. They're for the violence and the general overthrow. So that's why I don't understand these people and beliefs and everything they hear.
John, it started at Berkeley, California, when they had that big old riot thing that was there when right-wing speakers were going to be speaking, but then this group of young adults whoever.
And so from there,
people associated them with the left because it's usually left and right. But to me, it's all the same.
Well, the thing is that right. Antifa's not necessarily left or right. Antifa's for anti-fascist, for violence. And that's what people don't understand. They're like marking them left and marking them lefter and marking them beyond left. Antifa doesn't give a shit about the left or the right. They want violence. And then the American people.
What they're really trying
the
to do is they're trying to break up society, and they're trying to draw attention to the fact that we're all on the polar edge. But I don't think they have achievable goals. They are destructive.
They're
destructive in many ways.
Good point, Jane. Good point. I like that.
Yeah.
They're achieving them.
They're not gonna end capitalism with their tactics. They're gonna penetrate society and make a voice statement, but they're really not gonna dismantle institutions or corporate greed or anything like that.
Here's the thing. I mean, I know you guys like to say Antifa's violence, and it's true that some people, they claim to be Antifa or in the Antifa, or actually maybe in the Antifa, are violent. Now, there are some people that are violent, but not everybody. But I can guarantee you, in every Donald Trump rally, somebody got punched in the face by a Donald Trump supporter. I guarantee you that.
What?
Well, you know what? It happened the other side, too, but okay, you guys, we've been on the air for an hour and a half, an hour and 20 minutes, so we're going to end the show in 15 minutes because I'm in somebody's house and he's trying to sleep. But I want everybody to take their turn, 10 minutes each or 5 minutes each, and tell me what you think the most important current event is of this week and how it's going to play out in the next 12 months. Go ahead, somebody. We all had something to say for the last hour. Okay,
come on,
I'll go first. I still think America's in trouble for two or three reasons. First of all, the people who are against Joe Biden think he's going to the extreme on many. I'm staying with a guy that I've been dating 2 years. The price of diesel fuel just doubled in the last week because they closed the Keyport or whatever it's called, the Keystone Pipeline. So it's gone from like 110 to 260. And it's mainly been blamed on the Keystone Pipeline. So people are affected by everyday policies of Joe Biden. I don't think he should, even though I'm a Democrat, I don't think they should have eliminated the Keystone Pipeline because it was a dual agreement with Canada and us. It was efficient and it made fossil fuels travel safely through a pipeline, not through trucks. And I think that also if the right keeps listening to right-handed news and the left keeps listening to left-handed news, we're never going to come in the middle. And Marco Rubio said that impeachment trial is a waste of time. I just think they should go through it and but if Donald Trump gets impeached again, it's going to be a precedent in legal history. And I don't know how that's going to impact the next 10 years. Time will tell. I'm done now. Somebody else can go.
Okay. Well, the Keystone Pipeline. Well, first of all, let me just say, I don't know if you're close to like a Walmart or a Target or something like that. You could probably look online, Jane. They have hand warmers that you put in your pocket, you know, your jacket or your pants or whatever, and they're, what is it, like a little rock or a little stone or something, hon?
Yes, exactly.
That heats up to keep your hands warm, so you can also, like, put them in your, and so they're not electric or anything or any type of fire that you're going to get hurt with. It just it heats up, and to keep your feet warm, you can put them in your socks
cool.
before you go to bed.
I wish I would have known that 3 nights ago.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah, they have all kinds of little things like that. They just have a natural, you know, you snap it and it just heats up. So this way you don't have to worry about falling asleep and it hurting you. It just cools down automatically when it runs out. But yeah, they're just a couple of bucks. My husband would use those.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And as far as the impeachment goes, it does set a bad precedent because it pretty much will say, it says, that even after you're out of office for, you know, a year or two, if there's something that comes back, like we're seeing now, as far as something that happens 25 years ago that you said now comes up, you know, and then you get shamed for it. So if something like that should happen, you have a one-termer, you know, congressional member or Senate member, they can impeach that person. They can impeach, it pretty much will give them free reign to impeach whoever they want. But I want to know, you know, they're talking about the president inciting insurrection, as well as the violence. And it's like, okay, well, can you tell me why there's razor wire and still all around the Capitol? And there hasn't been any other incidents from the, domestic terrorists since that
day. I think that they feel threatened that something else is going to happen.
Yeah, could be. As far as the Keystone Pipeline goes, check out Joe Biden's new administration. It has two board members and one CEO from BlackRock, financial institution, and they just had resigned to join the Trump or the Biden administration. And they last month had purchased Saudi Arabia some oil fields over there, and then Joe Biden signed to kill the Keystone Pipeline. So you can make some connections there. They're involved with the stimulus checks because our Federal Reserve, when our Treasury went to them for money, they couldn't really help that much, so they had gone to BlackRock. So, in essence, BlackRock had bought bonds and everything else to help with the with the Federal Reserve so that they could give money to the Treasury so that we could have money to live off of. But I think there's a big conflict of interest there, but they are the ones that are in his top advisory cabinet. So, BlackRock, check it out. Back to you.
Thank you. That was a good point.
Well,
Don and Albert, you're the last two.
Yeah.
The last two.
Yeah, well, I'd like to finish. I did talk a little bit, but not much. I mean, there's a lot more to go on Donovan LaBelle. But a more interesting fact, of course, not going to surprise you guys. I mean, I listened to you guys say it happened before and it'll happen again. But the interesting fact is that those so-called non-lethal weapons are still being used today. So the question is, once you experience aversion, maybe your neighbor, the police will call in. Probably the police would be called in for your neighbor for some domestic dispute, or maybe because they have the music too loud and the police come over and they use these non-lethal weapons and put a hole in your neighbor's head, maybe you'll listen after you see something like that firsthand, right? I think this is these so-called non-lethal weapons and they're putting holes in people's heads. I think it's kind of a beginning of a thing to happen. It's going to happen more. And maybe it'll happen if it ever happens on a big scale. Maybe something will finally be said about it and seen about it. But for now, I guess for the people that are not being caught on camera, They're just the mainstream media is not going to talk about it, and it'll never exist as long as it's not caught on camera. So something just to look forward to, not really being sarcastic, but
Albert,
you guys know.
I did listen to you. It's just that and Breonna Taylor was killed by a gun without warning when they entered her home. But we listened to you. Well, you, me, and Don were on the air. We went on three different tangents, and we completely avoided the main point for Joe and Suzette called in. So we weren't trying to ignore you. We heard what you said. And, yes, there is a lot of unpredictable violence in our country, and authority figures could put us on the spot if they found us to be any kind of threat. And that's the thing that we have to deal with every day. Authority figures, but crazy people, the one who killed Trayvon Martin. So we're aware that, yes, I'm white and privileged, and I live in a smaller community, so it's less likely to happen to me. But we are aware. Go ahead, Don.
Yes.
You're next.
Well, all right. Yeah, no, you just summarized some of the things that I've said a million times. You know, a lot of these shootings and all this stuff, even shooting the head, these white people giving them all this propaganda, all these things that are supposed to be one way and they're not another. They say they believe in God and that yet they're the first ones to denigrate a race and a culture. And, you know, this is all from the white man, and he really needs to check himself. That's one of the reasons that there's a modicum of guilt in the community where there's a higher rate of suicide. You know, there's some honor in some of these people that's left. And I don't know. I don't know which ones. They're few and far between right now. But there's going to have to be some day that the white man is going to have to face his master. And I don't think that it's going to be a pretty sight. We're right now in between, I believe, Aquarius. And so there's a turn for a softer, gentler leadership or person as a head. And I don't know if the white man is going to survive that till the next term of the change of the moon.
I do think that black people will flourish under this regime. I think the oppressed will flourish under this regime, and Biden has his ear turned to that. And the age of Aquarius, for anyone who doesn't know, is a time of peace and prosperity and
right.
exchange of love.
Right, and so we're in a situation where there has to be a voluntary need for a certain culture to change, or else they're going to be left behind. As I've already mentioned, the white race will be a majority minority in 2043, according to genealogists. So this is going.
Well, I think on our next show we should talk about if the pandemic's going to make or break us, because with giving out all these in-kind payments and people falling behind and other people continuing to work, it's gonna create some kind of major budget deficit.
Well, it already has, but
well, during the pandemic, the rich have gotten richer. Their net wealth has grown by over many billions. And
the
poor, of course, you know, with the evictions and everything, losing their jobs, have gotten more poor, of course, than the coronavirus. But yeah, it's weird how the richer get richer and the poor get fucked over.
But not necessarily, Albert. I'm in a situation where I'm more or less making the same. Because I had special circumstances. I had a job, and then as the pandemic changed the whole structure of the job, so I was eligible for all of that then. But me not working, as opposed to I'm on Social Security, so I have an opportunity to make up to $17,000 a year. And with everything equal, with what I'm making with unemployment and that, it's almost to the point where I don't. I make off as well not working right now, and I'm looking for a job. So, you know, and I'm 65 years old, and I know the hell I'm not going to be able to find a job that's credible too much. It's not going to be in the norm. But, you know, I have that freedom because I built my life. I don't have to worry about struggling. But in terms of...
I do want to say one
drivet
about that, Don. There's some states like Colorado and California where people are qualified for pandemic insurance and can't even get through on the line. They have to make online appointments that don't exist. I'm just glad I live in a state of 5 million people where I can stay on hold an hour, but I can get through.
Well,
all
I know is that it's no problem.
Suzette, I know you've gone through similar trials.
All I know is that what Albert's talking about half the show tonight, it doesn't affect half the people. You've got a lot of the people who are making out like bandits, you know, like on Robin Hood, the little man, the person who did raise those prices, who purchased every stock, every share that they could, they sold them now. Robin Hood's back down to what was it, 32 today, and dropping. So it's right back down to where it was. This was the phenomenon of just the little man saying, take this. And we saw what.
And my friend who worked at Taco John's a year has made $600 on unemployment for a year.
GameStop's down, not Robinhood's down. GameStop's down. But
GameStop.
I know a lot about this. To tell you a 1 hour story, but of course there's no way you're gonna guys give me a 1 hour story time because I know a lot about this. But I'm telling you that it went down because they didn't allow to buy, they only allowed to sell. That means it's gonna go down. And even when they said they were gonna allow people to buy, they only allow everybody to only buy one stock. But you can sell all your stocks. That means if you have like 20 or 100 stocks, you can sell them all. But you can only buy one stock at one stock per week. They had it one stock per day, but now one per week. Of course, it's going to go down. That means it's called market manipulation, and that's me.
Albert,
makes it go down.
Saving this for next week.
You can't see the forest because of the trees. You let these little individual instances cloud your entire vision of what's going on around the whole thing. That's been a problem of yours. You can't let one instance.
Doesn't matter because they got them.
Right. And then said, "Let people trade. Let people trade." And by the way, they didn't get Marvin Capital. He got a big loan by Citadel, and he's going to do all right now because Robinhood was there to protect them.
But
but here's the thing.
Albert.
Let me put it how the stock market works, okay? Because the stock market works, of course, when you buy, it goes up. When you sell, it goes down. Right now, they're only allowing you to buy one and sell unlimited amount, which means that means it's only going to make it go down.
Albert, the point was, we're not talking about the stock market, what it does. We're talking about the little guy that figured out how to sink the big ship. Now, they sunk it for a little bit, but then the big ship, of course, started to crush the little guy again. But you know what? The little guy is still figuring things out, and the people are scared. The big ship is scared because they figured it out once, and now they're trying to figure out, how do we shut them down? How do we get rid of them? Because we can't have this happen again. But the little guy, he's still thinking. He's still spinning those wheels, and I see smoke. And so I think there are good things in the horizon as far as that goes because they have these big ships on the run.
The big guy controls the river, controls all the – even the wind. They control the wind in the river. So you're on their world.
But not for eternity. We've already seen it. We've seen the crack in the river and the wind. Right, Don?
Right. The crack is there. Again, it's getting bigger all the time. And it's up to you, Albert. It's up to you, yourself, nobody else, to make the difference. That's what I'm saying. You got to get off your ass and do what you think is right, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. You got to get off your ass and make sure that you make whatever you feel. Just like you're right. You know? That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, you can talk all you want, but the actions speak louder than words. But anyway, so I'm done.
Actually, I am getting off my ass. I'm suing Robin Hood because I bought stocks in it too, by the way. Lost money too. But anyways, I'm definitely already suing. I'm already in the process of getting in that, by the way. But, of course, like many professionals, I already said it's going to drop.
Okay,
it's going to drop
you on
its heels before it even goes through.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
You have very little support on something like that, but you have less money to challenge the Robin Hood lawyers. So, you know,
can I say something to you guys? Did you forget the guy who called in the beginning of the show and read a Bible verse? Life is suffering. Have you guys forgotten that? It's not a country club. We're put on this earth to suffer and be.
It is a country club. You ask your
not for everybody. Not everybody suffers the same.
I'm saying that we're not going to all get the golden calf. Some of us are going to die a terrible death. Some of us might have a relative that will be killed in a car accident. Some of us will have relatives dying of COVID. You know, life is not it's not a candy cane walk. We're going through this world, and we're full of trials.
But some of us control the market and control our future and can control what can happen to us in the future. And some of us don't have no control and no power what happens to us.
Well, you can control you, and you just want to make sure that you leave this earth better than when you entered it. That's my goal.
There you go. And that's why we need
Albert, you haven't really listened to anything Don said. You can make a difference even if you're poor. Mother Teresa did.
Yeah, well, Albert hasn't heard a thing we've said in the last 3 years. But, you know,
don't pick on him.
So, what about you guys don't think millions of protesters protest?
How about the Catholics who take an oath of voluntary poverty?
Some of you guys right here are against the Black Lives Matter protest against police brutality. You're against those guys. So
no one on this show tonight is against
contradicting
that.
Change. You're contradicting change.
Okay,
but
I got one thing to tell you guys. I know a Catholic priest. Every priest takes the oath of voluntary poverty. He climbed a fence in the 80s to protest nuclear war. He spent a year in federal prison because him and his 14 other priests entered a building and burned draft cards in Milwaukee. He spent a year for arson burglary. He didn't have any damn money. He went down to Brazil, and he helped the poor and fed them on the streets for 20 years. He had no money, and he made a difference. Okay? He helped others.
Course.
Mm-hmm. Right. He followed his faith.
I have a question because I know you guys always hate on Antifa.
I can't feel sorry for your foolish
dude, it's only a second. It's going to take a second.
The guy who got shot
okay.
in the